Now we're going live and direct to Edinburgh. Now, this may seem a little bit strange, but this is about the doctors who are having a laugh about the NHS. You might think that humour has no place in medicine, but one young lady is taking the Edinburgh Fringe by storm. Delighted to be joining me live on the line. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from Edinburgh. Stefania Licari. Excuse me, hang on, I just pulled the... So I was so excited I pulled the wrong fader up and you got half of a reef. Good morning to you, Stefania. How's that for pronunciation?
Great, that's the Spanish version.
Okay, Stefania, how's that?
Stefania, that's Italian one. I like both.
Okay, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm so excited. This is excellent from... Grey Edinburgh?
Yes, indeed. to the sunny Costa del Sol. So let's start with the day job, shall we? Because you're up at the Fringe at the moment, which is all acting type thespians, comedians, musicians, writers, the whole thing. But your job is your day job, if you like, is something different. Explain to our listeners what you normally do.
Well, actually, I normally do both, to be honest. So at the moment, it's a nice balance of 50%, more or less. So I work in intensive care and anesthetics. I'm an intensive care anesthetic trained doctor. I'm originally from Italy, but I've been living and performing and working in a hospital in London for many years now. So I'm adopted British by now. And so I work in intensive care mainly, the critical care unit. I'm not sure whether you're familiar, but I think after the pandemic now, everybody kind of knows a little bit about intensive care.
Just a little bit.
Well, before there was more like, what is that? Is it a clinic? I was like, no, they're actually unconscious patients. And now everybody actually knows about unconscious patients and ventilations, etc. So yes, so my life is a little bit about both. So day or night, occasionally, I work in intensive care on the operating theatres, and afternoon and night, I do performing.
So why did you decide to take, because we know the long hours and the incredible workload that the doctors and all medical staff have, and so why did you decide in your little sort of leisure time you had that you wanted to do the stand-up? Because, you know, I can imagine that if you wanted to be a painter or a sculptor or something, or write a book, that'd be fine, but stand-up is brutal.
I really love it. I wouldn't define it as brutal, but it's extremely challenging. So I absolutely agree on that. Well, the true story is I wanted to be an actress since I was a kid.
You're kind of in theatre, but that's a different theatre.
Some people wanted to be a ballerina, wanted to be an actress, and just somehow that didn't really happen. And my backup option was medicine, which was a really lovely and I've been very blessed to be able to be a doctor and be allowed into patients' stories and lives. But then somehow in my heart, there was always this unmet passion with acting. So 10 years ago, I started doing some amateur courses, and then quite quickly I progressed. I like to think I'm talented. Come and see my show. I'm so brilliant. All right. So then I took up it professionally. I went to drama school in London. And then I really fell in love with comedy. And I went to Philippe Collier Comedy and Clown School in Paris. So, I trained a lot. So when I told my parents I wanted to leave the conventional medical career and get into acting, they were like, the first thing they said was actually, you know, we're not going to pay for another degree. So many night shifts later, I managed to pay for my drama degrees. And now I'm kind of doing both. And again, I'm very blessed to be able to spend time in a hospital with patients and having an impact in their health most of the time. And also be able to share my stories and making art, which I think personally is as powerful as medicine. So it's interesting because during the pandemic, everybody was a bit of an advocate for the NHS, for the hospital, which I was very proud to be part of. But also I became an advocate for art because I experienced that there is a power in art that I think is as strong as math. It's different, but it can be as impactful as medicine, and for me that is a really important message, and it's really important in personal life.
And also, I believe at one point there was a patient who wanted to discharge himself and wanted to walk out of the hospital, and you managed to stop him through the power of comedy.
Oh my God, this is so true, and it's so heartwarming. That story, which is actually quite recent, it's only a few months ago, is so. It's really, I'm just literally like having goosebumps just remembering it. So these patients, so in intensive care, you might have also an area called high dependency unit where patients are awake, but they are critically unwell. In this particular case, this gentleman needed some very important life-saving support therapy, but because he had been in hospital for a long time and it was really unwell, he was particularly upset, and that happens a lot because obviously coming to the intensive care is never good news. So people are always in a very, difficult emotional state. So I had a long conversation with him, literally almost an hour, because he was threatening to self-discharge, which means signing a form and go home. I mean, we can't force patients, they have a full capacity to stay in. But we knew that if he had gone home, it most likely would have deteriorated and also possibly died in the following 24 hours. So I had a long chat. I was using my best empathic skills and listening. And I did feel generally very empathic because I do feel it must be dreadful not only to be critically unwell, but also having a not nice experience with the hospital for a series of logistic reasons. And he was very pleased that I spent time to listen to him, but it didn't seem to make a change. And then I thought, okay, here I need to use another strategy because this is not working. Plus, realistically, I have so many patients, I won't be able to spend the night here. And I thought, what shall I do? What shall I do? And I thought, okay, let's just do the thing you are the best at, which came to my mind as, I make jokes. So I made a joke. It was a very simple joke about monitoring. It was an award-winning joke, I think. It was a decent joke.
Yeah.
And then he laughed, but he laughed so warmly. It was so beautiful to see that laughter. And then he waited for a few minutes, and then he said, you know what, doctor? I think I'm going to stay because I trust you. I was like, wow, thank you. That's excellent. I'm so pleased for you because it's for your benefit, and I'm so pleased. And then I was leaving the room, and he said, and by the way, to be a doctor, you have a very good sense of humor. And at that point, Joyce, I was like, shall I tell him I'm preparing for a show and I'm also a comedian? Because I was about to do like an invasive procedure on him, and I thought, no, that's not going to land very well. You're just going to leave it there. On a serious note, I just thought, that's what happened. Yes, empathy obviously prepared him to listen, but then the joke with that moment of shared laughter allowed him to see me as a more human and to trust in me. And that's why I believe he finally agreed to stay in a hospital.
My sister is a matron. My cousins are surgeons. They have the medical profession has a very dark sense of humor anyway, doesn't it?
A little bit. I think, humor that we use with patients or with a public occasion, it maybe it's a little bit less dark at times. I mean, in my show, there's lots of dark humor, but between us colleagues, it is frankly quite dark. And I think it's a kind of relief mechanism. You have to allow yourself to look at things that are always so tragic in a lighter way. That's very important for the human brain.
And what was the reaction like the first time you went on stage making jokes about what you do? Because I should imagine the audience were a little, I mean, I've seen pictures of you with a dummy where you're attempting to inject a dummy. I mean, there must have been some nervous laughter to begin with before people, if you like, got what you were saying.
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, I mean, first of all, regarding the dummy, I did try to cast the real people to be my my unconscious patients on stage. That didn't land very well. I didn't get any interest in that. So, no, I decided on purpose to be a dummy because I think when you do medical comedy, you have to be very sensitive. And because in my show, I touch topics that are can be quite upsetting, like death. And my show is not just a laughing out type of show. There's moments of like seriousness, and some people cry actually very often in my shows. It's an emotional roller coaster because I bring some real sad stories. So I think it's very important to also remind, and that's the purpose of having props that are obviously fake, to say, hey, this is art. Let's use imagination, but you're going to be okay, even if we're going to touch topics that can be quite hard to ingest. So I would say the medical comedy really landed very well from the very beginning. And I think, first of all, there is probably an appetite for it, and it's quite topical because the public has seen the hospital and the doctors and the nurses, you know, during the COVID, and everything is connected to very tragic memories correctly. And now my message is I want to kind of create a new emotional charge towards the hospital. I want to bring down the doctor's concept and to make it a little bit more accessible and more humorous for the public, so we can reconstruct together how we all feel about medicine. And I think especially, yeah, people here in England, they really love a bit of dark humor. It really lands really well.
And also, if you think about it, the British have this long history of laughing with medicine. You think Doctor in the House, you think Carry On Doctor, you think of all these comedies in the 70s with the set in hospital wards. I mean, the hospital is a great where the Americans do sort of Grey's Anatomy and ER, you know, the British don't, you know, they do some medical things like Casualty, but they also do things like, as I said before, you know, the Carry On Doctor films, Doctor in the House, all those Only When I Laugh. So there's a tradition of medical comedy in Britain as well. They get it.
And you know what, I think medicine is an incredible source of for comedy. Reason being, because naturally in a medical environment you have this constant juxtaposition between sadness and laughter, and that's what I want to bring with my show. So in my show there is a lot of like and then boom, cold showers, because that's a snapshot of the hospital reality. That's what we do. Somebody just died, and then you're going to go and have a coffee, and then somebody else, and then somebody else is better, and then somebody else is worse. And you keep riding this incredible, I don't know, train, which is like more like, it's crazy, it's like a theme park. But that's the reality. And I think that's why medicine is great comedy, just because it offers this truthful like aspect of having both at the same time.
And there you are now at the Edinburgh Fringe. I mean, what on earth? I mean, how did that happen?
Hurrah! Well, I drove from London, a minivan.
Okay, yes.
First time I was driving a British car, by the way.
Okay, that must have been interesting. So that's a whole comedy routine in itself.
Absolutely. But yes, it took me only 10 hours and a half. I couldn't go to New York. It would have been quicker.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, it happened because I started the show. So I started devising the show with absolutely an amazing director, Chris Head, who is also co-writer of the show, a year ago now. And then we premiered in February in London. We had some produce, and then we start touring in London and outside London. We went to the West Country, we went to the Brighton Fringe. So my dream was really to land in Edinburgh and having this experience of just be here. It's so magical, Joyce. It's like basically all the artists I ever known of or admired or worked with or aspired to work with, they're here. Oh my God, I go to the laundry with them. We meet in Sainsbury. It's extraordinary. So the atmosphere is really, really magical, and it's a blessing. And I feel it's just extraordinary to have the opportunity to perform for so many consecutive days and have the experience of a multitude of audiences from literally every single part of the world. So as a performer, it's such a high. I mean, a lot of adrenaline going on.
Absolutely. And how many shows are you doing? How long is your run at the Fringe?
It's a full run. So it started on the 4th of August and it's until the 28th. So it's entirely months. Yes.
And what's the reaction? What has the reaction been like then from the Fringe audience? Because they, I mean, it's a big spotlight. I mean, there are some you know, this, the Edinburgh Fringe has launched the careers of so many great performers.
Thank you. Well, I take it as a blessing. very good, very good. I am so blessed. I am so blessed that the show is going well, and especially in the last 2 days, it's taking off. I had the full houses, and the audiences are literally on fire. Or not literally, actually, just metaphorically on fire. I would not want this.
Exactly, I know.
You know, I'm actually dreading the moment that somebody is unwell, and then, like, what do I do?
What?
And it kind of happened more or less like the other day. So the day here in Edinburgh starts, you go flying, so you're giving your leaflets, and you promote your show to the audience on the street, and and I go around in full scrubs. So obviously, that would be like, well, I'm a doctor, here's my show. And then at a certain point, there was a guy who was unwell. He had an asthma attack. And it didn't look great at all. And I was like, oh, listen, I'm a doctor. And then I realized I was in full scrubs in the middle of the street with leaflets, with my face on in a comic way. And then I said, I know, I also have a show, but I promise, I'm a real doctor. Can I help you? And he refused.
So when you become, you know, ridiculously famous, then he can look back and say, I could have been treated by, but I suppose the other thing is the fact that if anything happens in your show and somebody shouts, is there a doctor in the house? Well, obviously, because they've come to see the show.
Yes, I mean, you just stole one of my lines, because I do say that. I say, if somebody shouts, is there a doctor in the house? The answer is yes, but she's busy.
What do the other doctors, your colleagues, think about this and your newfound fame?
I don't know exactly, actually, because the ones that know me for a long time, they've seen developing these aspects of me, so they kind of got used. And reality, they always said, you don't really look like a doctor, to be honest.
What a doctor supposed to look like, for goodness sake?
No, I don't know, but you have no idea how many auditions I've been to that were looking for real doctors. And I was like, I have the skills, I'm also professionally trained in acting. And they say, you're just too, I don't know, not really typical doctor, like too funny or too weird or too Latino. I was like, okay. But anyway, so yes, I mean, not everybody knows in hospital. I'm trying to keep a bit quiet. but our colleagues have been very supportive, especially recently. They're feeling, this is exciting, or make us laugh, or is there a joke, or can you teach us how to project our voice, or can you give us some training? So that's, I'm very pleased.
So what is the name of the show, and where can people find you online and a website if they want to check you out?
The name of the show is Stefania Licari Medico, which is the Italian word for doctor.
Yeah.
So Medico, and it's at the Just Atomic Nucleus, which is a venue on Pleasance, at 3:10 p.m., 15:10, every day until the end of the Fringe, which is the 28th. And you can get tickets online on the Edinburgh Fringe website. Or you can just pop in and pay what you want, leave a donation at the end. But I'm very pleased to say the show is selling out. So
congratulations.
I recommend, thank you, people, to get a ticket.
And where can people find you online if they want to find more information about after this, before you become obviously the massive superstar you are destined to become? Where can they find you online?
Thank you. This is so kind of you. Instagram at Licari Stefania. On Twitter, Stefania Licari. I've got a website, StefaniaLicari.com. I'm just trying to keep really simple. plus, I really like my name, actually. So here we go. So, yes.
Well, listen, congratulations on the show and the sellout run at the Fringe. Long may it continue. Good luck with the drive back down from Edinburgh to I presume you're based in London, yeah?
I am based in London, yes.
Okay, well, listen, I know you're busy, so thank you so much for taking the time. Everybody go check out the website, which is Stefania Licari. I've said that correctly, have I, roughly? Yeah, thank you. StefaniaLicari.com. Keep it simple. It's been a real pleasure to speak to you, Stefania Licari. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it.